This is the kind of area which I thought I must share with you when we talk of technology. There is a concept which is emerging is, can we go for a digital financial services? Yes. What does digital financial services include? It's a broad range of financial services which are accessed and delivered through a variety of digital channels. Through what? Through mobiles, through phones, through teller machines, through POS, through biometric devices, or through tablets or palm top. Something, this is all kind of, you know, you access and deliver the services through these mechanisms is what it means. Why should we talk so much on DFS, you know? The idea is very simple. DFS helps me in what? It helps me in reducing the cost. It increases the speed. It increases the transparency. It increases the security. It increases to develop kind of more tailored product services that can serve the poor at a scale. In a sense, I can serve a large number of clients at a competitive rate, at a cheaper rate, because if I have to serve those people who are excluded, my cost of operations has to be lower, and that is possible if I go for digital. My hunch here is mobile phones are going to be much more useful, because that is the kind of asset which even the poor are having to kind of, you know, they have their access through that mobiles. Can we provide the digital financial services to them, you know? That's the issue we have to look to it now. Basically, what are the obstacles, you know? Then if it is so fine, what are the obstacles? There are three, four things which are very, you know, disturbing, you know. One is, you know, we have a kind of, you know, cost, you know, which we have to address, you know. Creating an infrastructure creates a cost, you know. My second problem is of literacy. I do not have much of digital literacy, you know. We have a security concerns, you know. The cyber security concerns are emerging. So when I talk of DFS, or I call it digital financial services, I face these three challenges. Cost of technology. It has to be affordable. I have to create infrastructure. I have to ensure that digital literacy comes. And here I wanted to give a small hint that even the MFIs can invest in digital literacy programs now, because ultimately it is going to help their clients, you know. Basically, how you define, you know, digital literacy, the word is talked, you know, this is only for your understanding. It's the ability to use information and communication technologies to find, evaluate, create, and communicate the information which is required for cognitive and technical skills. Cognitive in the sense what your brain can do it, you know. That is what something, you know, the activities which we can do it through DFS. You know, this is what we have to understand. We have to promote a DFS. Investments have to be made by the banks. Investment has to be made by the microfinance institutions. The government institutions will have to help us to create awareness and popularize the use of DFS actually. This is one more concept which is emerging in the parlance of the technology, you know, DBUs, digital banking units. Basically, what they do is, you know, they provide a kind of, you know, well, let me, you can read it. Only 2 points I want to make on this slide. One, it helps me to kind of, you know, apply online, you know, online application should be possible. And two, my disbursal of credit should happen through DBUs. This is what is going to happen, especially for the MSMEs, micro, small, medium enterprises. I should be able to get it. In the sense, one, I should be able to apply online. I should be able to get that credit into my account. All these mechanisms, if I am a MSME, it should happen through DBUs. DBUs are being promoted with a vision because they are cost effective, they are safe, they are secure. They provide a step in the financial inclusion, and they also ensure a digital literacy. This is what is going to happen. You know, this is very promising. This is the kind of perspective I'm looking to is when I look to the use of technology in the financial inclusion process or in the microfinance sector. You know, this is a kind of UPI, Unified Payment Interface, you know, which is talked a lot. You know, I'm sure most of you are using it. Basically, this is the fastest. You know, maybe it is available 24/7. It's accessible. It is a digital platform. It is authenticated also. However, there are 3-4 areas which are of concern. One, we have a poor connectivity in the remote areas. Connectivity is one of the issues we have to look to it. We have a financial literacy problem. We have a low penetration of smartphones. This is what I said in the beginning today, you know, that we have a lesser penetration of smartphones, especially among the women, you know. That is affecting the use of UPI, actually. Unified Payment Interface is affecting, you know, because the women do not have the access to the smartphones. That is where we'll have to look to it. The Bharat Interface for Money, BIM, what we call. These are the mobile apps which are developed by NPCI. And based on that, what happens? I can check my bank balance. I can transfer the funds if it is required. The cash transactions, the cash can be transferred from one account to another account. That can happen provided I have a kind of, you know, smartphone, I have access to internet, I have some kind of understanding of the whole system. This is where it is going to happen. The technology will be available. We have to learn the use of technology in promoting the microfinance. This is UPI, you know. This I just wanted to share you. It is even becoming a kind of very common in the European countries, you know. We are using, a lot of tourists are going, and what it indicates is there are tourists move from India to Europe and they transact through UPI, you know. Maybe a globalization is happening, that's what I'm putting it. Because 60% of the transactions on digital platforms are through UPI. Let me repeat this word. 60% or more than the transactions are on UPI. That is the digital platform we are using, which is very popular. I said that it is even getting globalized, because even I'm using in European countries, this is very important. Rest of the figure which I gave you is just to indicate that in terms of amounts, quite, you know, substantial transactions are taking place. If I look to the values of the transaction in the first quarter of 22-23, this is 26 lakh crore, you know. This gives you a kind of indication that very important, very useful payment transfer mechanism. You know. This is a project I thought I must share with you, you know. E-Shakti, you know. This was a project which was conceptualized in 2015 by NABARD. For what? For financial and non-financial data of the SHGs. I told you I have about 119 lakh SHGs in this country. They have a financial data, they have a non-financial data. Now manually it becomes extremely difficult to keep a track of all these groups. You know, even the banks find it difficult. They find it difficult to take the informed decisions based on the data. So the project was envisaged and it was viewed that can we transfer the financial, non-financial data through a digital mechanism, and one click, I'll get all the data for a particular SHGs. Maybe the banks maintain the savings accounts of the SHGs, they maintain the loan accounts. I will digitalize all these things so that the banks will be able to take informed decisions about credit linkage, about sanctioning of loans, and disbursing the loans through that. So this is what is the project aims. I digitalize the database so that take the informed decisions and help the rural poor who are in the villages. Of course, the mobiles are there. That's what I'm envisaging. That is the technology which is going to help these people, you know. For example, there will be meetings of these people. There are financial transactions. There are demand collection balance. There are overdues of these groups. All this information, it will be digitalized and kept on the database, you know, so that the concerned banks can access it and take their credit decisions, you know. Credit decision in the sense, sanctioning of loan, because they will require how much loan was sanctioned earlier, how much it has come back. They want a real-time database. So this platform helps them to take the informed decisions. The Shakti project, how did it help? Somebody keen on what is their aim, you know? Aim was improve the quality of bookkeeping, because unless your books are perfect, the banks cannot take decisions. In case of E-Shakti, the constraints are again same thing what we repeatedly said. Inadequate ownership of the cell phones, you know, especially the smartphones, you know, is one of the constraints, you know. Lesser extent of computer literacy. The computer literacy is less among the villages, especially among the rural poor women, that kind of problem. One more area which is very commonly known is internet connectivity is low. There is a power shortage. And possibly there is a digital literacy which is lacking. So all these constraints are becoming a kind of, you know, obstacles for me to promote the E-Shakti with a faster pace. Progress is happening. Only thing is, I have to increase more, I require to address these issues. That's what I wanted to show you. Then was the assessment. How did the E-Shakti work actually? The few observations came, I thought I must share with you. E-Shakti helped in what? Improving the quality and regularity of data. Please remember, data is one and regular updation is another aspect. You know? So that helps in the banks in taking the credit decisions actually. And that became feasible because of the E-Shakti. Their constraints came also. You know? It is not that the progress is there and you keep it constraints in the dark. No, the constraints also came to the surface, and one constraint was the handheld devices. They are not working in some cases, you know, that we call POS, you know, point of sale, you know, that machines are not working, you know. There is a lack of integration into the internet of banks and the lack of the kind of, you know, the POS machines what we have, you know. There is a vernacular language problem, you know. Most of the rural poor, they are not comfortable with English. So the language becomes one of the kind of constraints. And matching this through the kind of technology has to be addressed, you know. And that has reduced the effectiveness of the Shakti portal, you know. This is what the report has indicated, you know. Of course, the constraints are being addressed. It's not that we stop. No, we have to identify the constraints, address those constraints, and see that the e-Shakti progresses at a faster pace. This is what is a good observation, you know. Credit linkage of the SAGs is happening at a faster pace in the areas where we have gone for digitalization, actually. This is a kind of positive note for us, that moment you go for more digitalization, your credit linkage improves, you know. That's a kind of achievement for us, you know. We must be happy on this note, actually. This is what happens, you know. The assessment says further, you know, the multiple membership is awarded. The moment I go for digitalization of record, that is the first thing which happens, you know. Something which gave some kind of, you know, lacunas do come. Maybe 85% the data are updated. Good, good position, you know. It's a good thing that a large proportion of the SAGs are updated their database through the e-Shakti, you know. One more area of concern came as that I must thought I should give the negative side also, you know. 57% of the branch managers were aware of the portal. What does it mean? Remaining 43% were not aware of the portal, you know. Now that is where, now how will you address? Very simple, sir. Train these people, you know, those who are working in the rural areas, those who are working in the semi-urban areas, train them, you know, in the kind of, you know, portal what we have developed, you know. Training is a continuous process. It cannot, because the branch managers go on, you know, churning. They go on transfers, you know. So we'll have to continue this as a process and see that the new managers who are posted, they are trained as far as this portal is concerned. Very simple problem, very simple solution also. E-Shakti, you know, we realize that it generates a report of 22 pages, which helps the banks in taking a decision, you know. We realize that the quality of data, the regularity of data is better, you know. There is a positive relationship. The moment you are able to update the data on a regular basis, the quality also improves, you know. That's why, very simple understanding. Regularly update the data so that we have a quality data which is available to the bank to take informed decisions about the credit process. How the MFIs use the technology? We talked about banks, we talked about SAGs, we talked about e-Shakti, we talked a lot, you know. But now my problem is, how the MFIs can use the technology, you know. That is one area which was bothering me. I thought I must share with you few, you know, issues, you know. The MFIs are using technology, you know, for what? For improving the quality of services to their client. Please remember, clients are at the focus, you know. They are the central pillar, you know. I have to improve, I have to take the steps so that the quality of services goes up, you know. How the technology is useful to the MFIs? There are three, four things I have listed it. First, I get into the cashless disbursements, you know. Making the loan disbursement directly into account is happening, but I also want the collection to be digitalized, you know. Because I said at one stage, 95% collections are still in the cash mode, you know. So that has to be reduced. That is possible through use of technology. That is what is going to happen, you know. Reduce the fake loans, you know, or the fake clients, what we call. Reduce that, and that is possible through use of technology. Because once we have a digitalized, you know, system, you can identify the credentials of the individual through maybe Aadhaar card, voter card can be used to identify that he is the same borrower for whom the loan is required or whom loan is to be sanctioned, you know. Reduce the fraud side, actually. And that is possible through creating the awareness. That is very important. Basically, there are two issues I wanted to, that last bullet, you know, I wanted to tell you, you know. MFIs will have to invest in what? MFIs will have to invest in awareness creation, which is very important. About technology and its use, we'll have to create awareness among these people, you know. Create a stable and sustainable loan portfolio. That is the kind of objective of the MFIs, and that is going to be achieved through use of technology. I will use the disbursement through bank accounts, perfectly okay. Collection also through the cashless mechanism, you know. that is going to happen, you know. And that is where the technology is going to help the MFIs, you know, is what I wanted to highlight at this particular juncture. The kind of study, I thought, you know, because once we talk, unless we have the specific cases, we don't get convinced that easily, you know. The 65% of disbursements were cashless. You know. Disbursements is okay, sir. But collection was a problem. Only 28% of active loans were collected, actually, through cashless mode. You know. Disbursement, fine, two-thirds. But collection, less than even one-third. You know. This was a specific study in Kerala and Uttar Pradesh. We had two contrasting states. We thought we must share with you. This is what is happening. You know. 92% of the repayments were through BC points. You know. This is a good achievement. You know. Through BC mechanism, through business correspondence, we are doing a lot through use of internet, through use of debit card, credit card, Airtel payment mechanism. This is what is happening. So the payments were made through the BC points, you know. The MFIs have used the kind of digital payments, you know, maybe Aadhaar-enabled payment systems are used, maybe the service points, you know, UPI, what I said, maybe Google Pay, Phone Pay. All these things are leading to the use of technology, you know, by the poor also. It is not that only urbanites use it. Even the rural poor are using this. This is what the study shows in Kerala and Uttar Pradesh. The investments in digital infrastructure, this leads to automation of the business processes. The moment I improve the business processes, that is going to happen three things. One, I will reach my outreach. I will increase my monitoring mechanism. I can sanction the loan at a faster pace so that the grievances of the clients, that the delayed process gets addressed. Now, digital infrastructure, cost is an issue, actually. This is where I wanted to take a pause and conclude that these investments are going to happen. With the passage of time, the government will invest. Maybe the private sector will come up. They will invest in the infrastructure, digital infrastructure. Unless that is developed, the whole process cannot be expedited. You know. What happened was, we have relied on the smartphones so far. All solutions, they take care of the smartphones. You know. Access to smartphones is limited as far as the women are concerned. Now my issue is, can I get those features into the non-smartphones? That's the issue which is to be addressed through some kind of, you know, more products, more services, innovative services. We'll have to think on that. You know. This is what, you know, we'll have to think it. Can I improve the credit plus services? You know? Can I reduce the risk of carrying cash? You know? The digitalization is helping. If that is so, can I not promote it? You know? They get a pace, you know, they improve the space of getting the services. My speed goes up. Create awareness, you know. The lack of awareness is a major hindrance, actually. Create awareness through suitable camps, through suitable mechanisms. Maybe the MFIs have to even invest in creating the awareness and providing these services to the poor, you know. What are the suggestions? Can we have quick, you know, wrap up on that, you know? That's possible. Provided I go for a communication network in the villages, which needs to be more robust, you know, so that my transactions are carried out more smoothly. So improve my network. This is going to happen by, that's what I said earlier, maybe my mobile phones is going to be much more, you know, easy for us, because that ownership is there with a large number of people. Can I develop it? This is what is going to happen through mobiles, you know. My connectivity will get increased, you know. The government funds will have to be used for what? For mobile banking and strengthening the digital infrastructure. This is what I have to. That quoting is there, that Prasad and Smriti. The article is available. When I go to the references, I will show you. This is very important. The kind of, you know, some suggestions which are made, they are based on the empirical research. That is based on the studies. That is based on the researchers. Some kind of academicians have joined the whole process of making these suggestions, how to use the technology in the microfinance sector. So that names are indicating. The reference details are there. When I go to the references, I will show you this also. More on the digital infrastructure, more on digital literacy, I will have to promote it. Especially on the poor, we'll have to do it. You know. The last point is very interesting. You know. Can we go for the financial literacy in the schools? Can we promote the television and channels to promote the educative process on financial literacy? These are the thoughts we'll have to go with, because it's not easy that the financial literacy will happen with a click of button. It takes time. It's a process, especially for the poor who do not have much access to the smartphones and other things. They take time, but you create awareness, slowly the pace will improve. You know, it is not going to happen overnight. It is going to take time. We have to only make a beginning, you know. These are the references which I thought I must share with you. That particular reference, you know, let me share with you. You know, that one last one of this slide, you know, Prasad and Smriti, that 2019, assessing the role of digitalization in financial inclusion, that's an article which I referred and I quoted it. Some of you can go through these kind of details which are available. Depends on your interest, how much you take it, how much you carry forward it, you know. These are a few more articles which I have referred. This is what I wanted to say to you. Thank you very much.